Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Attorney at County Law, Karen Conti, joins us. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Bob.
Let's start with a question I have. Do you think the prosecution did a really great job, or was it just that the defense did not have much to work with?
I think they did a good job. I do. I don't think it was the kind of thing that you watch on television and go, wow, these lawyers are fabulous and flamboyant and wonderful. But they did the job. I mean, they put in the evidence. They had multiple witnesses. The witnesses were all very good. I thought it went smoothly. Was it flamboyant? Was it flashy? No. But that's not how most trials go for the most part.
The makeup of the jury we now know included 6 white jurors, 6 black or multiracial people, 7 women, 5 men, including a chemist, a nurse, an auditor, and a grandmother. It certainly sounds like America, the makeup of this jury, doesn't it?
It was, and actually it was more diverse than Minneapolis itself, and so when it comes to people of color. So, again, you know, a lot is made about the race of jury members, but the jury consultants will tell you that it's not as much the race as it is just viewing how they view the whole thing. Of course, race does come into play when you face the criminal justice system. I think black people and white people look at police, you know, just generally a little bit differently, but it was very diverse. You're right.
We hear about something called Blakely factors now. The judge told the lawyers to submit briefs on the Blakely factors. What does that mean? What are those?
These are the factors that the judge will use to decide what the sentence is. And what they are the aggravating factors that would play in. So aggravating factors are things that make the crime worse. So in his case, aggravating factors might be that he was in a position of power as a police officer while he was doing this crime. The second thing might be that Floyd was in a precarious situation and a very vulnerable situation because of his health and because of the way he was obviously on the ground. And the third thing they're talking about is perhaps the fact that a crime was committed in the presence of children. And now we might know why the prosecution called that little girl to the stand who witnessed the whole incident and how it made her sad. I think that we can see now they're going to tie that into the sentencing. So those factors, those aggravating factors, will certainly be brought to the judge's attention for his consideration.
And when does the judge rule on what the sentence will be?
It looks like about 8 weeks. There will be a pre-sentence investigation report, which is really an interesting document. It's compiled and goes into Derek Chauvin's history. They'll interview him. They'll talk about other bad things he's done. They talk about all the good things he's done. They'll talk, basically about what he needs to stay in jail. And it's a very comprehensive report that is presented to the judge, and the judge reads it. The judge will hear victim impact statements from people who have been impacted by the crime, and the judge will make that determination as to how many years he's going to serve.
Will the defense file an appeal, and if so, when, and what chance do you think it has of sticking?
The appeal, first of all, there'll be post-trial motions, which will happen after the sentencing, and those are just routine motions that will bring to the court's attention, here are the errors that we think you made. Judge will probably deny those as usual, then we'll go on appeal. You know, his best appeal is this pretrial publicity. I keep saying that over and over again, but I mean, here we have all these politicians, including our president, saying things during the trial. We had the $27 million settlement by the city during jury selection, and all the other notoriety. Again, the appellate court, I looked it up, they're elected. So when you look at judges who are elected, it just really strikes me that it's going to be very difficult to get them to overturn a verdict that was so of such relief to people. And he's got an uphill battle. He just has a huge uphill battle, and most appeals are not successful.
The judge also ordered something called a PSI, is it? What's that?
Yeah, that's that pre-sentence report, and it really it'll be interesting to read it because it will have his background and maybe some of the reasons why he is who he is, who his family is, probably something about his children. They may even have some testing and psychological stuff in there. But basically, it's just a very comprehensive document on why he should be sentenced in a certain way. And there's different things, you know, the judge gets to decide, like, will this sentence deter conduct? Does he need to be protected from the public? Probably not. Will this promote the respect of law? What will happen in jail for him? And that's a consideration, too. How do we house a police officer who has this kind of reputation? I mean, clearly he's going to be at risk. So all of that will be in the pre-sentence report for the judge's consideration.
And will we hear from Chauvin at some point?
I think we will. I mean, he certainly has an opportunity to address the judge and to say his piece. And because he didn't testify and we haven't heard from him, I really think the judge wants to hear from him. I think the world wants to hear from him. I think it's very important for him to say what he needs to say. He needs to apologize to the family. He needs to apologize to the city. And he needs to throw himself at the mercy of the court and tell the judge, you know, he won't be, a danger to anyone in the future. And the judge wants to hear that. And that should be a very dramatic moment in the courtroom.
For sure. By all accounts, not many are expecting the maximum 40-year sentence to go down here. He is a first offender. What's your best guess as to what the sentence will be?
You know, they're saying the minimum about 12 and a half. I think the judge is going to hit him up a little bit more. But again, the judge seems to be just a really, he's directed at this defendant. I don't think he's going to succumb to the pressure of the public and overcharge and over-sentence him. Because he is a police officer. He doesn't have a prior record. He's not going to be a risk in the future. So I'm thinking somewhere around 13, 14 years, and then he'll serve two-thirds of that. So he's going to do time, and believe me, if you think 10 years is a short period of time to be incarcerated, it is not. He is going to age, it's going to be dangerous for him, and it's not going to be a walk in the park.
When would he be eligible for a parole?
After about two-thirds of his sentence, so, you know, probably 8 or 9 years, he would then be eligible.
To be continued on WGN Radio Sunday afternoon, Karen Conti from 3 until 5, and I'm sure you'll have a lot to say, and you'll hear from a lot of listeners on Sunday, Karen.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Bob.
Thank you. Have a great day.